So when Ryan started not feeling well, I said, all right, God, this is all you. This is the Super Bowl of all Super Bowls. You're with me. And his burden is so light. I just prayed, and God just gave me such a great word, all from God. So I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to New Hope. So happy I'm here. I'm so happy you're here. Thank you. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I kept saying this all throughout the week to my daughter, and she finally was like, he is risen indeed. I got her to say it, but he is risen. He is risen indeed. The best Sunday of our year, bar none, of our lives. The day we celebrate, we cheer on, we're all thankful beyond measure for the death and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. All over the world, Christians are celebrating. The Super Bowl, like I said, of all time. The championship of all championships. The King of Kings. This message was actually really easy for me to put together because Christ has totally changed my life. So churches will be telling the story of Christ's victory over death because it is true. And that truth has power. The resurrection of Jesus is the truth on which Christian hope is built. And more than that, it is the essential story by which we live, by which I live. New Testament means the covenant, the contract, the agreement. Praise God for Jesus. Christ is central. In the world system, time is measured from his birth. BC, before Christ. AD, is Anno Domini, which is Latin for the year, for in the year of the Lord. I love that. In the world system, they even use Christ as the defining moment. Christ is central in our lives as believers. He wants not only admiration, and admiration is easy. I can admire him all day long, but he wants imitation. Be holy as I am holy. And 1 Peter 1:15 reminds us again, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. He doesn't just want our admiration, but imitation, to be like him in all we do and say. And isn't that the hard part? That's the hard part. I can admire him all day long, but to imitate him, to be like him, that's hard. We all have the privilege of representing God. God's many faces are now everywhere. I read that in a book, and it struck me. God's faces are now everywhere. We are Christ ambassadors, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Dr. Sam Huddleston, he's the assistant superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Sacramento. He had a story. He was in prison serving time. And his dad came to visit him. And there was another pastor's kid there in jail too. Dr. Huddleston said, Dad, it's Sunday. Aren't you supposed to be in church? His dad said, Son, I am in church. The other pastor's kid never got a visit from his dad. He was too busy doing church stuff. Church is inside you. It's everywhere you go. We are all Christ ambassadors. We take Christ, we take church wherever we go, every single day, every moment. Sam didn't stay in prison. His impact for the kingdom of God has been tremendous. And his dad brought a love so real, so substantial, so tangible, when he needed it the most in jail, all alone. A story I never forgot. Son, I am in church. Isn't that so good? You may be the only visit, the only Jesus someone ever sees. What an impact Sam's father made on him and on me. Jesus dealt with humanity in a visible, tangible way. The Word made flesh. Incarnation means be made flesh in Latin. Do you know that babies can't be formed in space due to radiation and conditions? There's never been a baby formed in space. Planet Earth was designed for life, created by God, and Jesus came to Earth as how? A baby, fully God, fully man. He walked this earth for 33 years. His ministry, 3 years. His death on Good Friday, it didn't look good in the natural, but Sunday was coming. Good Friday, the day Jesus died on the cross, is called good because on the worst day, God still wins. Because death is not final. Because death is not the end of the story. Because what the enemy meant for the worst evil, God planned and used for the best good. Because on this day, Jesus took the wrath of God meant for us. He took the punishment for our sins because Jesus' willing death was part of the plan to reconcile us to God. Amen. John the Baptist in John 1:29, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." One of the best Bible verses ever. Champion of all champions. Who else can claim that? Takes away the sin of the world. John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What a promise. You will never walk in darkness. He is the lamp unto our feet. We will never walk in darkness. Thank God. John 3, 16 and 17, one of the most quoted scriptures. And who said these words? Yeah, Jesus. I'm going to read them. John 3, 16 through 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Love it. Acts 4, verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." So simple. The word salvation in Greek is soteria, and derived from sozo and soter, which means savior. Soteria simply means savior saves. In biblical terms, soteria is the act of the savior, the act of the savior that made provision for deliverance, restoration, preservation, salvation for all mankind. Nothing we did, the act of the savior. Amen. John 16:33. "I overcame the world." He didn't say, "I quit the world." God didn't change Jesus' circumstances, did he? He had to endure. Where would we be if he quit? Where would I be without Jesus? Where would we be if he hadn't endured? Lost, lost, lost. That in me, he says, we may have peace. So I ask, do you have peace today? Are you troubled? Aren't you grateful Christ didn't quit? He didn't back out. He didn't change his mind. Humiliated, suffering the weight of the world. He could have said, "Angels, get me out of here." But he didn't. He endured. Thank God. Matthew 8, verse 34. "The entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone." Even Christ preached Christ, and they didn't believe him. They didn't want him. That verse, Matthew 8, verse 34, the entire town came out and begged him to leave. "Go away. We don't want you." He preached himself, and they still rejected him. The world is so conditional, isn't it? He loved regardless. He died for our sins when we had nothing to offer. I had nothing to offer, and he still died. He's felt rejection over and over again. Have you felt the sting of rejection? I have. It hurts. He did as well. There are no conditions. He meets us all right where we are, and he wants us. God wants you. God wants us. I love it. It's so simple. It's too simple. It's hard for our minds to comprehend it's so simple. It was simplicity, humility, and sheer love. Soteria simply means the Savior saves. Soteria is the act of the Savior that made provision for deliverance. Do you need deliverance? I know I do. I need deliverance from my flesh, my sin nature, restoration. We're restored with right standing with God. He sees us and he sees righteousness. Preservation, he preserves us, and salvation for mankind. All of Jesus' words changed history. Wouldn't you agree? The last words of anyone would stay with us. But these aren't Jesus' last words, but the last words he said from the cross. His arms were stretched wide, stretched out, and he utters what? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. And he also said, there's many things he did say, but we're just going to touch on a few today. And he said, it is finished. It is finished. I love that you sang that today. It is finished. We're going to read John 19, verse 28 and 30. John 19, verse 28 through 30. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The Greek word tetelestai is used in the Gospel of John as Jesus' last words. It is finished. Tetelestai. Before he gave up his spirit on the cross, he said, it is finished. I have fulfilled all prophecies. Tetelestai comes from the Greek word of telou, meaning to bring to an end, to finish, and to complete. It is finished. Tetelestai in Greek, the term was used in business. The debt was fully paid. The term was used in the courts. Tetelestai, your sentence and judgment has been fully served. The term was used in the military. The battle has been fully won. Tetelestai, it is finished. What a great last words from Jesus on the cross. It is finished. He endured till the end. Amen. Rest in that finished work of the cross. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. Jesus' blood shed on Calvary was enough. The work was finished at the cross. Praise God. The hands that hung the stars were sentenced to wear our scars. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Romans 6, 22 through 23. But now you are free from the power of sin. You are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that it says it's a free gift. I love free. And it wasn't free. It cost, everything cost something to someone. But that was a free gift. Amen. Free. Shepherds were there the night of Jesus' birth. Luke 2, verse 15 and through 17. But in Matthew 2, the Magi, the wise men, they arrived from the east with their gifts when Jesus was probably about 1 or 2 years old. You remember what they gave Jesus? They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In John 19, verse 39 through 42, Nicodemus brought a myrrh and aloe mixture of about 75 pounds. Nicodemus and Joseph wrapped Jesus' body with the spices and strips of linen. Myrrh was at his birth, and myrrh was at his death. Found that very interesting. It's kind of an interesting gift to give a child, isn't it? Myrrh, which they usually use for burial. And how amazing. It's at his birth and at his death. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, If anyone is in Christ, and I want to be found hidden in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. How many times do we bring up our past? Oh, you did this before. These are the patterns. And marriage, oh, you said that. The old is gone. The new is here. Today, the new. I want to put away the old. The new has come. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Your past doesn't have to dictate your future. The new has come. The old has passed. What a great scripture. Do you guys know what Jesus' first meal was after resurrection? Yes, broiled fish. Good job. We're going to be reading from Luke 24, 1 through 12, the resurrection. Luke 24, 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Those are Jesus' words. Then they remembered his words. Verse 9, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary of the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, he got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Mary Magdalene had seven demons come out of her in Luke 8, verse 2. And here she is, one of the first ones to see Jesus resurrected. How cool is that? The disciples had heard over and over Jesus' words that he would die and come back, and they missed it. She was there at the tomb, the first to see Jesus, the very first, the first evangelist, from demon-possessed to declaring that the Lord is risen as the first eyewitness. Doesn't God just use the most unlikely? We would have disqualified her a million times. Oh, you've had demon possession. You need to be. No, she's the first evangelist. She's the very first to see Jesus. How cool. Reading on Luke 24, verse 36 through 53, the rest of the chapter, Jesus appears to the disciples. Verse 36, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they had saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" Verse 42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer from the dead. the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. When they had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. After his death and resurrection, Jesus stayed on earth for 40 more days. Acts 1, verse 3. So Jesus didn't die and rise right from the dead and leave and go to heaven. He stayed on earth 40 more days. Sometimes we forget that. Speaking of witnesses, the New Testament is filled with disciples and their own accounts, their faith. The fate of the first disciples builds my faith. Everything to lose, their own lives. But there was nothing to deny. Not many of us would die for a lie. We would selfishly want to keep our lives. They suffered and died for Christ, and they lived boldly. Matthew was killed by a sword wound in Ethiopia. Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt, after being dragged by horses through the streets until he was dead in 68 AD. Luke was hanged in Greece. John was boiled in a huge basin of boiling oil. He survived. John wasn't done on earth. He was sentenced to the mines in the prison island of Patmos, where he wrote Revelation there. He died an old man. Peter, he was crucified upside down. James, thrown over a 100-foot cliff, survived and then beaten to death. James, son of Zebedee, was beheaded. He was the first to be martyred. Andrew, crucified. Thomas, doubting Thomas, he was stabbed with a spear in India on a mission trip. Jude, killed by arrows. Matthias, who replaced Judas, stoned to death and beheaded. The Apostle Paul, beheaded. Stephen, stoned to death. And the many, many, many that have gone before us, living and dying for their faith. It builds my faith to know it's worth the sacrifice. It's worth because God is real and Jesus is worth dying for. Titus 2, verse 11 through 14. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with self-control, right conduct, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Love it. Jesus fulfilled over 324 individual prophecies. Here's just a few. When I speak, I like to give you the word. So here's tons of word. Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2, fulfilled in Matthew 2, John 7, and Luke 2. Messiah is to be preceded by a messenger, Isaiah 40, verse 3, Malachi 3, verse 1, fulfilled in Matthew 3, Matthew 11, John 1, and Luke 1. Messiah is to enter Jerusalem on a donkey, Zechariah 9, 9, fulfilled in Luke 19, verse 35, Matthew 21. Messiah is to be betrayed by a friend, Psalm 41, Psalm 55, fulfilled in Matthew 10, Matthew 26, and John 13. Messiah is to be sold for 30 pieces of silver, Zechariah 11, 12, fulfilled in Matthew 26 and Matthew 27. The money for which Messiah is sold is to be thrown to the potter in God's house, Zechariah 11, fulfilled in Matthew 27. The money for which Messiah, did you say that one? I think I did. I got lost. I think I did. So the money for which the Messiah is sold is to be thrown back into the potter's house. Judas betrays Jesus and gives it right back. He didn't even get to keep the money. And that's in Zechariah 11 and then fulfilled in Matthew 27. Messiah is to be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7 verse 14, fulfilled in Matthew 1 and Luke 1. Messiah is to be hated without cause. Isaiah 49 verse 7, Psalm 69 verse 5, fulfilled in John 15 verse 24. Messiah is to be silent before his accusers. Isaiah 53 verse 7, fulfilled in 27 verse 12. Do you know how hard it is to be silent when you're being accused of something you didn't do? And he closed his mouth. That's so amazing. Such self-control. Messiah is to be executed by crucifixion by having his hands and feet pierced. Psalm 22, verse 16, fulfilled in John 19. Messiah is to be given vinegar to quench his thirst. Psalm 69, verse 21, fulfilled in Matthew 27. Messiah is to be executed without having a broken bone. Normally, they would break the crucified people, and they'd break their legs, and they did it to the other ones, and they didn't Jesus. They just hit him with a spear, and water and blood came out separately, which means he was dead. He didn't have a broken bone. Prophesied in Exodus 12 as the perfect lamb, and Psalm 34, fulfilled in John 19. Messiah is to be buried with the rich when he's dead. Isaiah 53, 9, fulfilled in Matthew 27. Messiah is to be raised from the dead, Isaiah 53, 9, Psalm 2, verse 7, Psalm 16, verse 10, fulfilled in Matthew 28, Acts 2, Acts 13, and 1 Corinthians 11. Last one, Messiah is to be executed by crucifixion as a thief. Psalm 22, 16, Zechariah 12, 10, Isaiah 53, 5, fulfilled in Luke 23, verse 33, John 20, verse 25, Matthew 27, verse 38, and Mark 5, verse 27. These are just a few of the 327, if not more, prophecies and fulfillments. Did you see? And Jesus said, I have one more I have to fulfill. And I will talk about that soon. 10 statements Jesus made about himself. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Matthew 5, verse 17. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Matthew 12, verse 8. The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Mark 2, verse 10. Do you need any sins forgiven? I do. The authority is given to the Son of Man. You are right in saying, I am the Son of God. Luke 22, verse 70. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. John 11, verse 25. I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my words, he will never see death. John 8, verse 51. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to pick it up again. This command I received from my Father. John 10, verse 18. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. John 10, verse 27. I and the Father are one. John 10, verse 30. I am the way, the truth, and the... No one comes to the Father except through me. In John 19, verse 28, we read it earlier. Jesus was on the cross, and he asked for a sip of water, one of the last prophecies to be fulfilled before his death. Prophesied in Psalm 22, verse 15, my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And Psalm 69, 21, but instead they give me poison for food. They offer me sour wine to satisfy my thirst. Jesus had physical needs. He was thirsty. Our Savior was thirsty. What are we thirsting for? What are we thirsting for this year? More success, more fame? John 7, verse 38. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. I love that it says within him, from within. I want more of that. Flowing from within me, God, I want what you have. Streams of living water will flow from within him. Those are promises. We have aisles and aisles of beverages in our grocery stores and choices for consumption every day, don't we? Sodas, coffees, teas, sports drinks, energy drinks, smoothies, milks. We put drops in our water, powders. We put everything. Our waters have spring water, carbonated water, still water, bottled water, tap water. Nothing satisfies so simply like water. He is the living water. Again, so simple. They offered him sour wine, fulfilling prophecy. They just happened to have it right at the foot of the cross. I find that amazing too. Maybe there was a use for it then, but he asked for something. Oh, here's sour wine. That just happened to be fulfilling scripture. Amazing. His first miracle was turning water into wine, the best the wedding had tasted. What a difference. They offered him sour wine. That's all the world really can offer us in comparison, is sour wine, is sour vinegar. He offers us what's remarkable in every way. He makes everything so rich, so delicious, so satisfying. He offers us life and life more abundantly. And he says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Streams of living water will flow from within him. What a great, great verse. He is the living water. What a gift, a free gift. And all we have to do is come to him. So easy, so easy. So I'm going to close reading He Is My King from Dr. Lockridge, The Champions of All Champions. He says, He is my King. He's a pastor in Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego. This just brought me to tears. So here we go. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest idea in philosophy. He's the fundamental truth in theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives the sinners. He discharges the debtors. He delivers captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Well, my King is the King of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. Yes, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he who had no predecessor, and he who has no successor. There was nobody before him, and there will be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. We try to get prestige and honor and glory to ourselves, but the glory is all his. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all those forevers, then amen. I just was like, that's great. That's wow. Thank you, God, the King of Kings. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He'll never mislead you. He'll never forget you. He'll never overlook you. He'll never cancel you. He is the I Am. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Happy Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you stir our hearts. You brought us each here today, not by accident. You chose us, God. You love us. Let us feel your love. For in Overton, Nevada, on a day that is so absolutely sacred, Resurrection Sunday, you are always so close. God, be our Lord and Savior. You offer salvation, hope, peace, fulfillment, love. On this day, we celebrate your resurrection. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. You are faithful. You paid the ultimate price on that cross, and we are forever grateful. You made provisions for our deliverance and restoration. Help us endure, God, situations that are hard, that are trying. You endured, God. We are your ambassadors. Let our deeds be holy, imitating you more every single day. God, I want to be more like your Son. We eagerly await your return. Your words are life. We love you, we love you, we love you. We worship you, God Almighty. We thank you. We thank you, God, for your amazing sacrifice. Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful, blessed day. Let's go see those adorable kids, grab some eggs, and God is good. Happy Easter.